take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Be honest with yourselves. In all the history of modern media, have you ever seen them demonize someone more than they have yours truly? Ask yourself, why is the corporate media, why is Hollywood so desperately afraid of me? Why do they lie and twist my every word and then desperately tell you not to listen to me? It's because, ladies and gentlemen, I've got their number. I've done the research, and it's unbelievable the crimes they're openly committing. They think you're idiots. They think you're morons. They brag on C-SPAN that you have the attention of a goldfish. Zuckerberg says, my users trust me, they're dumb. Well, you know what? I don't think you're a dumb. I think you have a soul and a heart and a mind. And I believe they've been bombarding you with chemicals and biologicals and brainwashing from birth via television until you don't know even what universe you're living in. So I'm here to shriek you awake, because if we don't come together, the globalists are going to be able to totally dominate our species and destroy us forever. Actually, tune into the show at InfoWars.com for yourself. Write down some notes and then search out the terms and issues I'm covering. And find out, ladies and gentlemen, that the reason they fear InfoWars and myself so much is that we are simply the rabbit hole. It's up to you to take the red pill and find out how deep it goes. The Matrix doesn't want you to take that pill. I just want you to know, all I am offering is the truth. I may look through a scanner darkly and distort some things in my own mind, but the final equation, I'm trying to tell the truth, and that's why I've changed the world. So find out what the enemy's so scared of right now. Find out what I'm actually saying for yourself and not what they're telling you I said. The globalists want you to sleep so they can live. I want you to awaken so we can all have a future together. I'm Alex Jones. Visit InfoWars.com today and find out why I am public enemy number one.
All right, and that was Alex Jones, and I'm David Knight here live in studio. We have an amazing amount of news that you may think that you've heard everything there is to hear about fake news, but just within the last couple of days, we've had major retractions from the New York Times, a paper of record, from the AP. Jake Tapper is putting out fake news about Donald Trump trying to blackmail Joe and Mika and holding up a fake National Enquirer cover. We have a staged video of a refugee drowning. We're going to take a look at that. And then Carl Bernstein coming out and saying we have a malignant presidency, saying that we have to have the mainstream media attack this in a way that we've never had this happen before. And then as we see at the top of Drudge, we see a tweet that somebody started on Reddit where they basically showed, it was a clip of Donald Trump during the wrestling days, body slamming somebody. And of course, we all know that wrestling is not real, folks, right? Maybe they could figure that out. And they were telling us that, don't worry, we have this Shakespeare play where we make somebody look as much like Donald Trump as we can so we can stab him to death and applaud for that in New York City. And now the media is having fits saying Trump is promoting violence against CNN. I mean, this is a cartoon that you see here. There's nobody specifically targeted. That's a key difference there. They got just a CNN block over somebody's face that he's throwing around there in the arena. And what they're alluding to is the fact that they are losing so badly. We have a White House aide saying fake news is collapsing in on itself. And it absolutely is. That's what that meme is about. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about war building up in North Korea, as well as the Democrats trying to hide election information from the Trump administration. That's right. They've been telling everybody that it wasn't rigged. We know that it was. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Defeat defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, July 2nd, 2017. We got July 4th is right around the corner. We got Obama warning us, don't get too patriotic. Don't get into that nationalism. At the same time, he's doing this in Indonesia, his real home country, the place that he grew up, where his CIA mother and his father that raised him, Sotero, was involved in that brutal regime that you don't hear anything about in the United States because they were our killers. They were the CIA killers. And they had a massive purge there that was politically based. And he grew up there, went to a madrasa there, and he's down there telling everybody that we should not be too nationalistic and that we only have a temporary loss of American leadership. But don't worry, we're going to get back into the climate change, the globalism that he's pushing in Jakarta as he's telling us don't get very patriotic on the 4th of July weekend. Well, we're not going to pay any attention to him. And there's going to be some people who are lighting up for freedom in Vegas. We're going to talk about that as well. Vegas has sweetened the pot. They've upped the ante on putting down the war on drugs, and it is now legal. They had four states, you may remember, in the election in November that legalized marijuana. And Nevada is the first one to implement it starting this weekend. But they have left a lot of tripwires for people. And we're going to tell you about that. And you need to be very careful if you're going there for tourism, because they have left some very dangerous tripwires in there in terms of restrictions on how you can use this supposedly now legal substance. We'll see what they've left in there. Also, we have White House is talking about how the White House aide went on radio and said fake news is collapsing in on itself. And we're going to start with that before we get the preparations for war. Trump is going to be calling the Chinese and Japanese leaders later today. That is getting very, very touchy. We've had some encounters on the artificial islands that the Chinese have built in the Philippine Bay there. And so we're going to be talking about that as well. But let's talk about what's going on with fake news first. Because today, just the last couple of days, ever since Donald Trump went with Joe and Mika, things have really been changing very quickly. And Donald Trump is saying, let's play this clip of what he says about the fake media. He says, they're trying to silence us, but we will not let them. Let's play that clip.
The fake media is trying to silence us, but we will not let them, because the people know the truth. The fake media tried to stop us from going to the White House, but I'm president and they're not.
He stole that line from Al Franken, right? I'm Al Franken and you're not? He says, well, actually, I'm president and you're not. And that goes for you too, Al Franken. All right, let's get it there. Let's get back to what actually happened, because it's been a big couple of days. And of course, this all began about 10 days ago. Remember when we had CNN get caught in a fake story? They pulled it back. They started saying, we're going to have review at the vice president level within CNN of any of these Russian stories. We had the Democrats saying, we need to pull back on this. We're overplaying it. We're doing this to the exclusion of other issues. They realized that they had jumped the shark. Then he had CNN fire three people. Then we had the James O'Keefe revelations that came out throughout the week. But now in the last couple of days, what we've had is the New York Times and the AP telling us that, no, actually, there weren't 17 intelligence agencies. They've been lying to us since December. Remember that? That story. And we're going to talk about how many thousands of stories, how many times that has been repeated. That, quite frankly, came from Hillary Clinton. And the fact that they continue to repeat that Hillary Clinton lie and did so even before the campaign was over tells you that the intelligence agencies, that the law enforcement agencies, were in with Hillary Clinton, as were the news media. And we're going to talk about the Hatch Act and their legal culpability in this as well. But then in addition to this, we've had Jake Tapper then come out and say Joe and Mika were threatened to be blackmailed by Donald Trump. And then he shows a National Enquirer cover that was totally fake. And of course, there wasn't any evidence issued for that, except just that they said that he was, if they didn't do such and such, which they didn't do, that Donald Trump is going to have some fake stories put out about them or something, or tell the truth about them, which didn't happen. So where's the blackmail? I don't know. I guess it's all in Jake Tapper's mind. Maybe if we could see inside that fake issue of the National Enquirer, maybe the details are in there, inside that fake issue of the National Enquirer. Then we have Carl Bernstein come out, one of the venerable reporters who was involved in the Nixon coup, the Watergate coup, that was truly a coup. You need to understand that in context. That truly was a coup against Richard Nixon that was done with involvement of the FBI at the highest levels, just as we're seeing now. The collusion between the press, between the FBI, between other agencies. Although now we have a lot more intelligence agencies and they have a lot more capability of doing that type of thing. But Carl Bernstein is coming out and saying that this is calling for a different kind of reporting. We're going to play that for you as well. And then you have, as the final bit of information here, I'm giving you an overview. We're going to go into a little bit more detail with these. We're going to play the videos. We're going to show you what they had to say. But the amazing thing about this is that if you look at the Drudge Report, at the top of the Drudge Report, there was a little GIF that was created on Reddit, and it showed, it was a clip where Donald Trump was playing around in his world wrestling days, and they had a staged attack, as you can see there. But the individual that he's taking down, they put CNN over it. And that's exactly what Donald Trump was just saying. He said, the fake media is trying to silence us. We will not let them. He understands that he's in a wrestling match with the fake media. And they look at this and they say, this is a call for violence against CNN reporters. It's not. These are the same people who push back against the idea that a Shakespeare play, where they make it very clear that it's Donald Trump and his wife who has an accent just like Melania, and they stab him to death, and the audience is cheering that. And of course, they come back and say, well, you know, we've done that sort of thing before with Obama. Did the audience cheer when Obama was slaughtered on stage, or were they sad? I think it probably was the latter. I think they probably were not cheering. But they did that, and as we were saying, that's going to incite violence, and we had the shooting of the congressional individuals at the baseball game, Scalise and others, and they kept saying, oh, there's nothing about that at all. Very specific threats about a president that they have demonized. And yet here we have a tongue-in-cheek wrestling video where Trump is wrestling CNN, just in general, just a metaphor for CNN. And they come out with these types of headlines. Trump appears to promote violence against CNN with his tweet. Trump punches CNN in a juvenile tweet. Trump tweets a fake video of him attacking CNN. Really? You think that was fake? You know, the guy really didn't have a CNN logo over his head. Come on. It's to say that that was fake, it was a parody video. And that's Politico, of course, trying to stretch this out. Let's play a clip, guys, that we have of the White House press corps falsely accusing the White House staff of assault. This is on MSNBC.
That lap was like that.
Yeah, it was like literally.
Was nuts.
I've never seen it like that.
I'm not exactly sure what we're hearing behind the scenes. It looked like a little bit of getting roughed up in some form as the reporters were leaving the Oval Office there. Suffice to say, you saw the two presidents of South
Carolina. So you think there's a little bit of a double standard going on there? I think when they act out very violently an assassination of Donald Trump, make it very clear in every way that they can, and they took a lot of liberties with Shakespeare's play. They worked Twitter into it, so forth, just so that you know. The guy was a dead ringer for Donald Trump, and then they say, no, there's nothing wrong with that. That's artistic license. But they don't want even a silly gif like that with Donald Trump wrestling people. They don't want that to go out. Let's take a look at what the White House aide said when we come back. He said the fake news complex is collapsing. He said to those supporters of the Trump administration who are worried about all the fake news reporting of the last 23 weeks, I can assure you, just ignore it. Yeah, he's winning. He body slammed them, and they're not very happy about it. Stay with us. We'll be right back, and we're going to break down what really happened with these phony 17 intelligence agencies. Not at all. They're finally having to fess up.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this July 2nd. I just want to remind you before I get back to the news that we have our 4th of July summer mega special in effect. Free shipping store-wide on everything at InfoWarsStore.com. And massive discounts on things like BrainForce, 30% off. Supermail Vitality, 30% off. Survival Shield X2, Nascent Iodine, 30% off. Z-Shield, 30% off. And InfoWars Select Storable Food. Not only is it free shipping, but 30 to 40% off at InfoWars Select Storable Food. This is a great time to take advantage of this. Massive discounts, as heavy as it's ever been discounted, 30 to 40% for InfoWars Select Storable Food and free shipping. This is the time to stock up, folks. We've got a very uncertain situation that we're in right now. And, of course, we don't know what's going to happen with North Korea. That's one of the news stories we're going to be getting to later in the broadcast. We have Donald Trump is going to be talking to the leaders of Japan and China, trying to unwind that situation. It's a very complicated situation. It is a hair trigger. The guy is absolutely, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is absolutely insane and provocative. And it's not really clear that even though the Chinese have a great deal of leverage with him, if they can reason with this guy. So we do not want to see an attack. We don't want to see him attack first, but we also don't want to see some kind of a war. That exactly what do we do with that? We're just waiting to see what happens with it. So it's always good to be prepared. You should always have storable food. You should have the types of supplies that you need. Now is a great time to stock up on that while we have free shipping. Also, Emmerich's Essentials, the outdoor pack, that's 40% off, and Living Defense, 20% off. Take a look at all the specials that we have as part of this 4th of July summer mega special, and remember that we have free shipping store-wide on everything at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, let's go back to what's happening with the news. As we see the mainstream media literally melting down, and Carl Bernstein, that we're going to talk about in just a moment here, understand that when he comes out and he says that we have a malignant presidency and we need to do something that we've never done before and come after them. This is a guy that led the coup against Richard Nixon along with the FBI and others. And so when we look at this and we look at him taking down the mask of objectivity, they never came out during Watergate with this kind of candor about how politically involved the media was. And of course, the thing that has always kept them in the position of authority is to talk about how disinterested and objective and rational that they are. They don't take sides, they say. No, they do. And we're seeing that very, very clearly. Not only are they taking sides, but they're putting out false information and they're pushing for a coup openly. And so basically, they truly are collapsing in on themselves, as a White House aide, Gorka, said. He's deputy assistant to President Trump. He went on a radio show and he said the fake news complex is collapsing in on itself. We see that with the massive scandal at CNN, having to fire people who are generating totally false stories about the administration. We see that with the severe personnel cuts at the New York Times. And of course, now we see that even more clearly. Let's take a look at what's going on with the Associated Press and with the New York Times about these 17 U.S. intelligence agencies. Remember, we've been told that since December. The AP, in their retraction, says the Associated Press reported that all 17 U.S. intelligence agencies have agreed that Russia tried to influence the 2016 election to benefit Donald Trump. That assessment was based on information collected by three agencies, not 17, three agencies, FBI, CIA, NSA. And it was published by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, which represents all U.S. intelligence agencies. Not all 17 intelligence agencies were involved in reaching the assessment. Now, that's AP walking it back, correcting the record. New York Times doesn't even get their correction correct. The New York Times correction, which was buried in a story a couple of days ago, the New York Times correction, quote unquote, is still wrong. WND pointed out that they tucked it into the bottom of a story titled Trump's Deflections and Denials on Russia Frustrate Even His Allies. They published it on June 25th, and this is how we missed it. The correction came out on the 29th, a White House memo article on Monday about Trump's deflections and denials about Russia referred incorrectly to the source of an intelligence assessment that said Russia orchestrated hacking attacks during last year's presidential election. The assessment was made by four intelligence agencies. No, they're wrong. Remember, it's three. AP just pointed that out, and we'll tell you why. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence, that's not an agency, okay? That's the one that all the others report to. The CIA, the FBI, and the NSA. The assessment was not approved by all 17 organizations in the American intelligence community. And they said, but even that correction is inaccurate. It goes beyond the fact that they said it was four agencies when it was only three. And they point out that the assessment was not made by those agencies, not even the three agencies, New York Times. The agencies simply approved the assessment, but the assessment was not done by the agencies. It was done by a highly irregular committee. That fact was disclosed by Director of National Intelligence, former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, during the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee hearing on May 8th, when he acknowledged that the assessment was not conducted by his office, by the FBI, by the CIA, not by the NSA. It was done by a panel. Okay, you understand this? So the New York Times is saying, well, it was four agencies when it was really three agencies. But it wasn't even done by those three agencies. And James Clapper, who was head of the director of the National Intelligence Office, said that in the subcommittee hearing during a Senate Judiciary Subcommittee hearing. Clapper told senators that the assessment was actually made by two dozen or so, quote unquote, seasoned experts who were handpicked from the contributing agencies. So you understand this? These are a few people who are brought in and they're told what to say, essentially. You understand how this works, right? Let's listen to what he had to say. And how did those four agencies verify the accuracy of the panel's assessment and ultimately give it its stamp of approval? Clapper said, well, I'm not aware that anyone dissented or that they disagreed when it came out. So they handpick these guys. Do you think maybe they're people who are going to do what they're told? Do you think maybe they're people who have a political agenda? And they come in as this hand-picked panel, and they present them with an assessment, and then nobody speaks out against it. Why would they? They haven't done any investigation, most likely. And so because of that, now we have unanimous approval by that hand-picked panel of this, and then it escalates to the point where it is now unanimously approved by all 17 agencies. Former CIA officer Fred Flights, who's 25 years of service in the national security positions, said that convening such a panel was a drastic departure from normal protocol. It went against all standing rules. It carried a strong political stench, and it rendered the findings suspicious. That's a report from WND, and they got that exactly right. So they have this political panel that they put in that has a political stench to it, and they put that out there, and then they escalate it to all 17 agencies. But when we come back, we're going to talk about where that came from and how it was pushed and how we pushed back against it from the very beginning. We're also going to tell you about the real news about how the election was rigged. We'll be right back.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, July 2nd, 2017. It is coming fast and furious. I know you've heard fake news over and over again. And every side, it's calling the other side fake. But now we have the New York Times, the Associated Press, we have CNN, melting down, firing people, having major retractions after they've been pushing the lie of 17 intelligence agencies saying that the Russians hacked. And of course, this was all something that was started by Hillary Clinton back in an October debate. So these people have been pushing this narrative all along, and we need to look a little bit deeper. We need to actually look at the violations of law committed by James Clapper and others who politicized their agencies and violated the Hatch Act. Because at the time that we had James Comey come back, remember just before the election, he came back and he said, well, we got some new information about the Hillary Clinton emails. And immediately you had Senator Harry Reid and others saying, we need to get after him on the Hatch Act. And quite frankly, they could have done that in terms of the way that it was presented. But also, the narrative that has been done by many in the intelligence agency in the aftermath of all this, pushing the lies about Hillary Clinton both before the election and after the election, they need to take a look at the Hatch Act. And we're going to take a look at that when we get into what the Democrats are doing in terms of pushing back on the efforts to look at voter registration rolls. This is something that they don't want you to see. They're trying to hide what is there. And they're trying to hide the fact that we know that there are a lot of problems on the voter rolls. They keep saying, no, it's not a problem. It's fake news. And look, Donald Trump is listening to InfoWars, and immediately he says there were millions of votes that were illegal aliens who registered to vote and so forth, but they're doing everything they can to stop the release of those public records. These are not privacy issues. This is something that has to do with the corruption of the Democrat Party. But let's get back and finish up on these 17 intelligence agencies. There's a story from Zero Hedge pointing out how the New York Times has been pushing this for a very long time. And this began, as I just said, with Hillary Clinton in the debate in October. She said there were 17 intelligence agencies that all agreed with this. And in this article, Zero Hedge put out some tweets from WikiLeaks. And WikiLeaks, back on the 20th of October, 2016, before the election, said Clinton's, quote-unquote, 17 U.S. intelligence agencies may be the biggest, most immediately disprovable whopper ever intentionally made during a debate. Let me repeat that. They said it's the biggest lie easily disproven ever made during a debate. And then they follow that up and they say, well, what do her 17 intelligence agencies include? They include things like the Coast Guard, the DEA, Naval Intelligence, Department of Energy, Air Force Reconnaissance. Really? Seriously? I mean, those people were looking at the Russians supposedly hacking into our election. And again, remember, they kept saying they never got into the voting machines. No, that was Homeland Security that did that. That was Homeland Security that violated the law immediately after the election and subsequent to that, getting into the voter rolls in Indiana as well as in Georgia. Georgia's a place where they were first discovered. Then later they found them going in about 15,000 times into Indiana in violation of the law, trying to create a situation where they could take over the state election agencies and declare it critical infrastructure. So that's an executive order from Barack Obama. And that allows Donald Trump now to basically hoist them by their own petard. And to go in and take a look at this. We don't want the federal government running the elections. But it might be a good thing right now before he gets rid of that executive order. And I hope they do. We had all the secretaries of state meet and say, remove this designation of critical infrastructure. It needs to be removed. But before you do, let's take a look at what Jay Johnson and Homeland Security were doing illegally, breaking into these different places. Because we had Congressman Chaffetz and others say, please explain to us what you were doing. What was the purpose of this? How many times did you do this? Come forth with this. And they call for a special investigator because they believe that Homeland Security was not going to be honest, forthright, that they were not going to investigate themselves. And they're right. They stonewalled them until Jay Johnson did his dog and pony show and said, oh, it's the Russians. And I know that it was ordered by Vladimir Putin. That's another patently absurd lie. Just like the fact that the Coast Guard was looking at Russian interference somehow in our elections. But then they go on to say this. May 8th, 2017, WikiLeaks points out there have been 3,490 fake news stories that reported that 17 intelligence agencies made U.S. election hacking report when only three of them did. And we talked about that. The FBI, the CIA, the NSA. And it wasn't even those three agencies. It was a political panel that was put together, presented with a report. Nobody complained about it. So Clapper says, that's done. We all agree. It's unanimous. Puts it out there, says, I speak for 17 intelligence agencies, and we unanimously agree. Do you see how the lie snowballed under Clapper? The same guy who, when remember, we had Ron Wyden say, are you listening to all of our emails without search warrants? And James Clapper couldn't look him in the eye. He looks down, he rubs his eyebrow, and he goes, I can't really say. And then we found out a couple of weeks later, we had the Snowden leaks that showed, yes, beyond a doubt, we have the documents that they really are truly doing it. So here you have James Clapper putting this together, and now we've had nearly 3,500 fake stories about 17 intelligence agencies unanimously saying that somehow the Russians hacked it. Let's take a look at what else we found from the New York Times, just as a reminder, because, you know, these things are coming so fast and furious. It was an entire month ago that we had Comey testifying. And that Comey shot down the New York Times and said that their February the 14th story was basically a lie. Remember, if we go back, this is a Daily Caller story. The New York Times is looking into whether one of its big Russia scoops is actually true after former FBI Director James Comey disputed the report in his testimony before Congress. So this is about a month ago. The paper of record reported on February the 14th that U.S. intelligence officials had intercepted repeated communications between the Trump campaign and senior Russian intelligence officials in the year leading up to the election. Total lie from the New York Times. Total lie from the New York Times. An FBI agent, former director James Comey, called him on it in testimony. The news firmly planted the as-yet totally unsubstantiated narrative that the Trump campaign had colluded with Russia to sway the election in his favor. But Comey characterized the report as almost entirely false. Entirely false. And then they came out and said, well, we're looking into it. See, this has been going on and on. These are major fabrications by the New York Times, by CNN, by the Washington Post, by the AP, and others that continue to go on. CNN. And now we have another one from the Associated Press break on this weekend. They're coming so rapidly, you can't keep up with them. And now this one. This is a new fake meeting story. And it sounds exactly like what CNN did when they said that Anthony Scaramucci had met with Russian investment fund, a bank, and they had completely made that up. That was what caused the three individuals to be fired. That's what's caused the big shakeup at CNN. And now AP has come out with a similar thing, saying that EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt and Dow Chemical CEO Andrew Liveris had met privately. This is an imaginary meeting. Never happened, folks. And then they allege that some kind of impropriety happened as a result. So they make up a meeting. And then based on their imaginary meeting that never happened, the AP talks about improprieties, ethics issues. And now they're having to retract that, just like CNN. Do you get the idea where this is going? And now, let's play Bernstein's video. Let's play what Carl Bernstein of Watergate fame said about the non-functioning Trump presidency that is, as he puts it, malignant. Let's play that clip from Bernstein.
I think something much greater is happening, and that is that we are in the midst of a malignant presidency. And that malignancy is known to the military leaders of the country. It's known to the Republican leadership in Congress who recognize it, and it's known to the intelligence community. And the presidency of Donald Trump is not functioning. It's not functioning partly because of his character. It's not functioning.
All right, we're going to play the rest of that when we come back, and we're going to talk about what's behind this coup, if you don't realize it just yet. We'll be right back.
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me.
He never gives up. He's Alex Jones, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, worldwide.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, July 2nd, 2017. I want to go back to this clip from Carl Bernstein because this, I think, is very key. We've had the mainstream media that has kept its position of influence by telling the American people that they are objective, that they're disinterested, that they don't have a dog in the fight. And as I've said many times, anybody that tells you that they don't have an opinion that influences their reporting is not anybody that you should trust. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a political viewpoint. The very stories that you choose to cover are going to be reflective of your political position. You need to be honest with people. You need to tell them, here's my position on this, and here's why I think that. That's what we try to do here. We go in and we give you the documentation, as we just have here, and as we're going to talk about the voter data and how the election was rigged. And we're going to give you sources who are saying why that's the case, and we're going to tell you why the Democrats don't want to have that seen. But when we talk about something, we talk about it from a position that has to do with our political beliefs, and we're very upfront about that bias. Everybody has bias. And so when somebody tells you that they're not biased, that they're perfectly disinterested, they're either lying to you or they're lying to themselves and to you. And of course, when we have somebody like Carl Bernstein, who is American royalty when it comes to journalism. This is one of the two guys, Woodward and Bernstein, who were part of the Watergate coup. And of course, they did that and said, we're totally objective. We don't have a dog in this fight. We're just putting out the information as given to me by Deep Throat. Now we see the mask coming off. And I want to go back and play that clip again. And we didn't have time for the full clip. This is Carl Bernstein taking the mask off. This is how desperate they have become. They have removed the key device that they have used to control the American people. Because as we see all of these stories collapsing on them, the 17 intelligence agencies, the so-called meetings that they have made up between the Russian bank and somebody else, between the EPA director and somebody else. These are fake meetings that they're making up and then using that to attack the Trump administration. So as we see this collapsing with the New York Times, with the Washington Post, with the AP, with CNN especially, they're coming out and saying, we've got to get Trump. And here's the way Carl Bernstein put it.
I think something much greater is happening, and that is that we are in the midst of a malignant presidency. And that malignancy is known to the military leaders of the country. It's known to the Republican leadership in Congress who recognize it, and it's known to the intelligence community. And the presidency of Donald Trump is not functioning. It's not functioning partly because of his character. It's not functioning partly because of his attacks on the press, which is totally moving the needle that the American people are watching to a sideshow. But it's really not functioning because the character and capabilities of this president are called into grave question in a way that those who know him best are raising serious concerns about.
Well, you know, in terms of saying that it's not functioning, they're so upset because it actually is functioning. It functioned to stop TPP on day one. Donald Trump's presidency functioned to get us out of the fake climate change agreement out of Paris that would have controlled our economy. So, yeah, we're doing he's taking some very major steps. That's what they're really upset about. They don't like the direction that it's going. This is completely political. And that's why he's coming out and saying that it's non-functioning, that it is malignant, and we're going to have to attack it in a different way. It's going to require a different kind of reporting. And Donald Trump isn't having any of that. Let's play just to kind of rub their nose in it. This is the thing that really triggered them today and said, you're calling for violence against CNN. And it's like, no, he's not. He's just pointing out the fact that it's been a major takedown of CNN and the politicized, weaponized media that is trying to create a coup. And here's the thing that that they're complaining about that was on the Drudge Report. Let's play that.
Oh, my God, what's going to happen?
That's Donald Trump taking down somebody in a fake stage wrestling thing. And they got a little CNN square over it. And they're saying that is a threat against CNN reporters. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. All right, let's real quickly, before we go back to the other news, and I want to get into Trump and the voter data, where he says, what are they trying to hide? Why won't they turn this information over to us? 4th of July summer mega specials are going on now, and we began this a couple of days ago, but these are massive savings. Free shipping store-wide, 30% off a wide variety of products like BrainForce Plus, Supermail Vitality, Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, Z-Shield, and 30 to 40% off plus free shipping on InfoWars select storable food. And of course, that is made in America, it's non-GMO, and it is sealed to last for 25 years. So even if you don't have an emergency, you can spread out your costs on your food to make sure that you don't are susceptible to spikes in food prices. Also, Emmerich's Essentials Outdoor Pack, 40% off retail, Living Defense, 20% off. And again, free shipping store-wide at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, here's the other part of the war between Donald Trump and the Democrats and the press. And this is voter data and real voter rolls. And as Donald Trump tweeted out today, actually yesterday, he said numerous states are refusing to give information to the very distinguished voter fraud panel. What are they trying to hide? And as The Hill points out, we have at InfoWars at InfoWars.com, more than half of the states have so far refused to provide all or some of the voter information requested by the Trump Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity. Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach, the vice chair of the commission, said, frankly, if states like Kentucky or California won't provide available information, one has to ask the question, why not? I mean, what are they trying to hide if they don't want a presidential advisory commission to study their state voter rolls? And this is what the Democrat in Kentucky said. She said, there's not enough bourbon here in Kentucky to make this request seem sensible. Not on my watch are we going to be releasing sensitive information that relates to the privacy of individuals. But it doesn't. It is not sensitive. It doesn't relate to the privacy of individuals. As I even point out in this article, and I think this is, this is The Hill, not a Trump-friendly publication. They say the information requested by the commission's letter to all 50 states includes things like voter names, birth dates, the last four digits of the Social Security numbers, and party affiliation. The request was for information that is, listen to this, publicly available under each state's laws. Let me repeat that. All this information is publicly available. Anybody can get this. All they're asking for is the cooperation of these people to collect this information for them. That's something that anybody can get. Many states are providing part of this information, but not most of these Democrat states. It says several states, among them California and New York, said participating in the attempt to compile voter data would legitimize or perpetuate false claims of massive voter fraud. Well, wait a minute. If it would legitimize claims of voter fraud, you wouldn't want that to happen, would you? You don't want people to see that there actually is voter fraud. And as I've pointed out before, in North Carolina, where there is no voter ID, you don't have a picture ID in order to vote. You just walk up and you give them a name and you give them an address, and then they look on their voter rolls, and then they told a friend of my brother-in-law, so I'm sorry, you've already voted. So they have in North Carolina one of the longest voting terms around the election, the longest period of time for people to vote as any state. And so you can vote early and vote often. That's what the Democrats have done with the laws. They have tried to structure them so people can vote early and often. So they can use these voter rolls and they can go in and vote for somebody else because all they have to do is give them a name. And so the person said, I'm sorry, you've already voted. And so is this other person at your address. And he goes, well, that's my mother. She's been dead for a couple of years. It's like, well, she voted. Now, did he report that? No, he didn't. And so the Democrats say that never happened because most people don't go to the extent to report that. But then, of course, one of these states where they're blocking this is Terry McAuliffe. He's obstructing efforts to investigate voter fraud. He's saying, no, we're not going to turn this over. He said, I have no intention of honoring a request for publicly available voter data made by the Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity. Why wouldn't you make available publicly available voter data? Why would you not cooperate with that? Well, as we just said, they said it could validate the fact that there's illegitimate stuff going on here. We had a court decision in North Carolina because they tried to correct some of these things that allowed Democrats to vote early and vote often. And they said, these are targeting racial minorities with surgical precision. You know, things like having to have a picture ID. No, that's racist. Having a shorter voting window because they have the longest voting window of anybody. No, that's racist because I guess evidently certain minorities can't figure out what day election day is. And then having to go to a particular voting place, certain precinct. No, they can't know where to vote either. That is not targeting them with surgical precision. Everybody is constantly turning over their voter IDs to do everything. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. We're going to get back to what's going on with the Democrats. What are they trying to hide with this voter ID? And I want to take you back to the timeline as to when we started talking about this, when the mainstream media attacked InfoWars and attacked President Trump using InfoWars, saying, listen to this. People at InfoWars talk about the problems with voter fraud. They talk about the problem with voter rolls. And then immediately Donald Trump echoes that. So he's just getting all of his news from InfoWars. Well, it turns out that's right. That's right. And we have multiple evidence to prove this. And we have stonewalling going on from people like Terry McAuliffe, who has major legal and ethical issues that need to be addressed by the Trump administration. We're going to get into that in the next segment. In this segment, I want to give you some headline news. And, of course, we're also going to talk at length once we come back, because during this segment, we have a lot of affiliates that are carrying local news or national news. So I want to give you some headlines here, and then we'll get back into a more in-depth discussion of the issues between North Korea, Trump, Japan, and China. We have big news on that, as well as some interesting news on marijuana legalization going on in Nevada and specifically Las Vegas beginning this weekend. Texas has now told the federal government to end DACA or we will sue. And nine other states have joined in this. Remember, we had a couple of weeks ago, we had President Trump end DAPA, Deferred Action for Parents. And this is now DACA. This is the Dreamers, okay? Deferred Action for Children. DAPA was very easy to end because it had never taken effect. It had been put on legal hold. It was being appealed through the courts. They had stopped that executive order from Obama to essentially shut down our immigration laws. So the Trump administration stopped that court case, and it just went away. And nobody was involved in that. However, there are a lot of people that have applied for and continue with DACA. And the Trump administration has been reluctant to make an end to that. And I got to say, as I look at these pictures, this guy says, can we dream together and so forth and so on? You have to realize that the real issues that are affecting people, and even as the Democrats are talking about moving away from this fake Russian narrative that they've been trying to hamstring the Trump administration with, they say, we got to move away from this. We got to get to the issues that people are concerned about. How do they afford a home? How do they afford college tuition? How do they afford health care? Well, how do we afford a home? Let's take that first one there. The American dream. What is that contingent on? Well, a big part of the cost of your home and a big part of your apartment and the size of the apartment that you can afford, even though you don't pay the taxes directly, are property taxes. And that's especially true in a state like Texas, where there's no income tax, or a state like Florida, where there's no income tax. But every state, it is a huge part of the cost of your home. And if we have to provide a free education for anyone who comes here from any country and provide it in the language of their choice, what does that do to our property taxes? It costs, it makes them skyrocket. So are we going to have the American dream? Are we going to have people who are foreign citizens who come here because their government, like Mexico, does everything they can to help them evade our laws and to remain in our country and to trespass criminally and to get a free education because Mexico doesn't want to pay for the education of their citizens? They send them to us so that we can pay for them, and then we can't afford as much of a home. They want to put us into 200-square-foot coffin apartments in the cities. That's part of Agenda 21. That's the rationale for this. And believe me, that is absolutely going to happen if we have to pay for everybody's education. So this is a big deal. It's a 10-state coalition led by Texas Attorney General, sent a letter to the Trump administration asking them to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. And they threatened to sue if the federal government does not end this program. Donald Trump should end this program. He should have a heart for the American citizens who are going to lose their homes because they can't afford property taxes. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. We're just talking about news and the fact that we have Texas and nine other states are saying, calling on the Trump administration to repeal Obama's DACA. That's the Dreamer legislation. As they pointed out in that, they said, we respectfully request the Secretary of Homeland Security phase out DACA. This is Texas Attorney General Paxton. And the coalition said in the letter, they said, just like DAPA, which the Trump administration has shut down. And of course, that never really went into effect. So it's easier to shut that down than it is for DACA. They said DACA unilaterally confers eligibility for work authorization and lawful presence without any statutory authorization from Congress. In other words, this is an executive order by President Obama, who had nothing but contempt for our immigration laws, nothing but contempt for our borders, and who is now in Jakarta, who is now in Indonesia, telling the people there, I'm sorry, you know, we've got some crazy nationalists that have taken over in America, but don't worry, we're going to get back to internationalism and the Paris Climate Treaty, and we're going to make international New World Order government stronger again. But we have to watch out for these crazies who actually believe that there ought to be an American nation. This is the guy who grew up in Indonesia. Regardless of what you think about his birth certificate, his photoshopped, multi-layered birth certificate, the guy grew up in Indonesia. He grew up with a brutal regime that was based on murder and torture that was run by the CIA. His parents, his mom was involved in that. His grandparents were founders of the OSS, the predecessor to the CIA. This is a guy who was groomed as a Manchurian candidate. He doesn't have a connection to America. He doesn't have a connection to American nationalism. If you look at this story, they've got the picture going back to when he ran in 2008, and you see other candidates there, Bill Richardson, Hillary Clinton, they're standing there with their hands over their shoulder, and Barack Obama famously has his hands down at his side because he just has nothing but contempt for any symbol even of this country. And he has a lot of contempt for the laws. Also, Senate Republicans are now saying we're looking at something else in health care, and it's quite interesting that a White House official says if the Senate health care bill fails, and it is going to fail, they can't get it even, they can't even get enough people to bring it up for a vote. They say that maybe they might just pass Obamacare simple repeal. Wouldn't that be great if they just said Obamacare is now repealed? And then they can start with real market-based reforms that will really lower the cost, that will really make it affordable. Obamacare has never been about making it affordable. And as I pointed out last week on the Nightly News, Elizabeth Warren understands this. She understands that if we fail to repeal Obamacare, this whole thing is going to go down the pipes. And if we just rearrange the deck chairs on this Titanic Obamacare failure and then declare victory, it is still going to fail. You can't repeal reality. Costs are skyrocketing. And to say that we've got a lot of people that have insurance coverage now that didn't have it before, that completely ignores what's really going on here. As Jerome Corsi has pointed out, and I've done interviews with him, he's written article after article, they funded these subsidies by stealing money from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And you're going to eventually run out of other people's money. And you're not going to be able to do that. They didn't even fund it. The Congress didn't fund it, but they went ahead with it. They just stole it from other sources. But it is going to fail. It was designed to fail. And once it fails, progressive socialists like Elizabeth Warren are going to push for single payer. Single payer means that the government is going to control everything about your health care. There's going to be no competition. There's going to be no control. There's not going to be any ability to shop around. And when we look at this, and we look at the taxes, the massive taxes that were put on with Obamacare, if you really want to make something affordable, would you tax medical devices? Would you not allow people to even deduct their health care expenses, not allow them to deduct their health insurance costs, not allow them to have savings accounts to save up for health care? None of that was allowed. All of those things would empower us as consumers, give us information to let us know the cost and the quality of health care, allow insurance companies to compete across state lines. None of that was in the Obamacare bill. That was all in Donald Trump's plan for how to fix health care. And we have seen none of that really. We've seen some tax relief in the bills coming out of the House, some tax relief, less tax relief coming out of the Senate bill. But if they really want to make this work, they have to go back and actually try a marketplace. The market did not fail. The market was not tried. They failed to even try to have a free market where you have information as a consumer, where you have competition from different sources. And when the government doesn't take your money for health care, for taxes, before it allows you to deduct that, that's the key thing that needs to be done. So I see this as actually a good thing. If they can't get something, if they can't rearrange the deck chairs on this sinking ship, then maybe they'll just start out with repeal, which is a great place to start. And if we fail on this, folks, Elizabeth Warren is right. We're going to get single-payer health care. If they fail and this whole thing comes crashing down, they're going to use it to push socialized medicine. Let's go back to what's going on with these voter rolls. And we got Terry McAuliffe again, a guy who has been campaign manager for the Clintons. He was their hand-picked head of the DNC at one point in time. And he's got some issues going back to this last year as well. At the same time, remember current acting director Andrew McCabe? His wife was running for Senate in Virginia. At the same time that McCabe was investigating Hillary Clinton's emails and investigating issues related to Terry McAuliffe, Terry McAuliffe was holding fundraisers and political things for Andrew McCabe's wife, a clear violation of protocol of ethics, and gave her a $700,000 donation. This is something that needs to be looked at. We have investigations, multiple investigations as reported last week. Circa has been doing a lot of research into this. And as they pointed out, there are three different investigations that are going on with Andrew McCabe. And one of them involves Terry McAuliffe intricately. And he has no intention, however, of turning over publicly available voter data. And again, as the Trump administration says, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Well, I think they may be afraid of us finding out that Jay Johnson and Homeland Security tried to insinuate themselves into the election system, among other things. I think we need to be very afraid of this entire electronic voting system. We've pointed out here in Texas, we've done reports on this. We tried to talk to the director of elections here in Texas. He stonewalled us when we went to his office. We wanted to ask him because what this guy had done after coming to Texas government straight from the Rose Law Firm, where Hillary Clinton used to hang out, what he did was he started removing the ability for us to have images that would give us an audit capability of votes. See, it's in the Texas Constitution as well as the law that every ballot needs to be numbered. This was something that went back to when we had paper ballots. And this is not just a problem in Texas. The major voting machine vendors that we're using here, one of them has no capability whatsoever to store images of the ballots. So you can't audit these ballots after the voting. So that's a different issue than voter registration rolls, but it is all tied together. They have a lot of different ways that they rig the elections. As I mentioned before, the idea that you wouldn't have any voter ID, that you would have an extended voting period, that you could vote anywhere that you wanted to, all these motor voter bills, these are all things that the Democrats have been pushing for decades, pushing so that they could vote early, vote often, and enable fraud. Because what they've done is they have removed the mechanisms that would allow us to have a legitimate control over who the actual voters are. Then they have something else that I think is even far more dangerous, and that is true election fraud. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the machines. The idea that voting fraud can then become, as you talk about when you're talking about computer systems, you say, well, this is an enterprise-wide, it is scalable, okay? This is not something that is just a little application here, but we can scale it across the entire enterprise. And when you look at voting machines, and if you take away, as they have here in Texas, if you take away the ability to audit this, if you take away the numbering and other issues like that, you have the ability to rig elections from the top to the bottom and in every jurisdiction just like that. And that's what they've done in Central and South America and the Philippines with voting machine companies like Smartmatic that were created by Hugo Chavez. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, July 2nd, 2017. We have some disturbing news in North Korea, along with China as well. We have a U.S. warship that has been patrolling close to the artificial islands that China has created in the close to the Philippines and has fortified. And so we have a U.S. warship that's there. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And then they've been buzzed by some airplanes there. And of course, Donald Trump has said that he is at the end of his strategic patience. He's going to be talking again to the Prime Minister of Japan and the President of China later today. And before we get back to the news, And before we get back to this voter fraud and investigations into who real voters are and if we had fraudulent voters that were voting in the election, I want to remind you that we have our 4th of July summer mega special now live at InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping store-wide on a wide on everything in the store and a wide variety of products that have been put on massive discounts. 30% off things like Brain Force Plus, Super Male Vitality, Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, Z-Shield. 30 to 40% off InfoWars Select Storable Food. And remember, free shipping. That's a heavy item, so that's a big savings to get free shipping. And 30 to 40% off InfoWars Select Storable Food. Non-GMO, made in America, storable for 25 years. And once you open it, you can reseal it for short-term use. Also, Emmerich's Essentials, our outdoor pack. That is 40% off retail. And Living Defense, 20% off. Remember, store-wide, free shipping on everything, massive discounts from 30 to 40% off selected products, all now part of our 4th of July summer mega special at InfoWarsStore.com. And we really do appreciate your support. That is how we fund our operation. You remember when Megyn Kelly was interviewing Alex Jones and J.P. Morgan pulled their support of NBC and so forth? You know, they're not going to J.P. Morgan and other people that are involved with the Federal Reserve and Big Pharma, they're never going to support an independent operation like InfoWars. That's why we put together a win-win situation, or as Alex Jones puts it, a 360-win situation, offering you high-quality, natural products that really work, that are very effective at the very best price you're going to find anywhere. And that's how we fund our operation, going direct to you, so we don't have to go to the type of people that want to fund NBC and Megyn Kelly. Let's go back to this issue of voter fraud. And as I pointed out before, remember, there's two things going on here. There's voting machine fraud, which they tried to imply by saying the Russians were hacking our election. They use that term. Then when you push them on it, they would deny and say, no, they didn't get into any voting machines. They didn't touch any votes or anything like that. No, they were the hacking was because they were saying that they had released through WikiLeaks true information about Hillary Clinton that caused people to not want to vote for her. And that's really what happened, except that it wasn't a hack. It was people internal in the DNC, we believe, based on WikiLeaks, who they've told us the truth about all of this. And we've had multiple times that they've said it's not a state actor that turned this information over. We had another individual, a former UK ambassador, said, I came to the United States to get that information. I was handed it by a disgruntled Bernie Sanders supporter who knew that the DNC had hacked the election against Bernie Sanders. They had pulled every trick they could, colluded with the press, so forth and so on, to make sure that they got that. And then I believe, and we've got multiple evidence of it, the Democrats worked with the politicized Obama administration, the politicized intelligence and law enforcement agencies to collude with them, to collude with the press, to put out false information about Donald Trump, to spy on the Trump officials to see if they could get dirt on them, violating the law in the process. And this is not a supposition. This is something that came out of the FISA court. And they normally classify their decisions. And they released this decision to say that the NSA and the FBI had violated the law by spying on American citizens in America. Now you've got them saying, we want a reauthorization of the 720. The 702 part of the Patriot Act that allows us to collect information on people with a couple of different hops. And you got people like Lindsey Graham saying, but did you spy on me? How do I know if you spied on me? Will you tell me? And they said, no, we can't tell you, Senator. If we did that, we would have to violate your security or your privacy in order to tell you that we had violated your privacy. And it's almost like saying, well, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. If I told you that I'd spied on you, I'd have to kill your privacy. So I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to give you that information, Senator. I just want you to reauthorize this and to make it permanent so we don't have to come back and do this again. Now, maybe they got enough information on Lindsey Graham that they can force him to do that. I hope they don't, because it's only going to get worse if we don't put an end to this politicized surveillance state that is operating for itself. But let's move now from the phony issues. And again, these phony issues about the hacking of the election, that was something that was being put out there by Hillary Clinton, being put out there by Jay Johnson, everything back in October. Remember we had Jay Johnson when he finally said, I'll talk to you now, finally, about breaking in illegally into state boards of elections. He goes before Congress and he says, yeah, Jim Clapper and I made the statement on October 7th, and I'm glad we did, frankly, to say that the Russians were hacking our elections. Now, when he said that on October 7th, he was getting himself involved in the election in a way that was a violation of the Hatch Act. And remember going back to about that same amount of time, October 31st, CNN was saying, what is the Hatch Act? Did James Comey break it? And Harry Reid said, yeah, I think he did. Well, what is the Hatch Act? The Hatch Act is something that was passed in 1939. Congress wanted to make sure that federal employees were not going to be supporting candidates in congressional elections. They restricted the ability of federal employees to engage in political campaign activities. This is why Andrew McCabe, current acting director of the FBI, is in trouble, because he campaigned as an FBI agent for his wife, and also for he was investigating the guy, Terry McAuliffe, who gave $700,000. This governor of Virginia was being investigated along with Hillary Clinton, and he gave $700,000 in a campaign contribution to McCabe's wife when she's running for Senate. I mean, these are multiple ethics violations, legal violations, Hatch Act. The only question is, will the Trump administration call him on it? And here's what the Hatch Act says. They cannot use their official authority or influence for the purpose of interfering with or affecting the result of an election. And as they point out, the law doesn't require that the employee's wrongful conduct actually interfere with or affect the result of an election. It's just something that could possibly do that. So that's a key part of this to keep in mind when we look at the fact that Terry McAuliffe does not want to turn over this publicly available data to help us look at the voter registration rolls. And that goes back to this story. Remember, this is something that goes back to November 14th. It was one of the earliest times that we talked about it. Report, 3 million votes cast in the presidential election by illegal aliens. And this was based on something, we didn't make this up at InfoWars. Mainstream media acted as if we did, but it came from Greg Phillips of VoteFraud.org. He said, we verified more than 3 million votes cast by non-citizens. They completed an analysis of a database of 180 million voter registrations. That's what the Trump administration is trying to do now. That is what the Democrats are trying to obstruct. They say, we don't want to legitimize these ideas. They don't want you to find out that it's actually true. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, July 2nd, 2017. We have Donald Trump tweeting out yesterday, numerous states are refusing to give information to the very distinguished voter fraud panel. What are they trying to hide? Yeah, what is Terry McAuliffe and these other Democrats trying to hide? We found out just on June 26th that we have a student who is heading to prison for registering dead voters for Democrats. When that information came out, Donald Trump Jr. tweeted, ding, 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 look, we got one. I thought this didn't happen. This is a guy who was working for Harrisonburg Votes, and this was an organization that was affiliated with the Democrat Party. And I remember when this first happened, he's now pled guilty. He's going to go to jail for a prison sentence of 100 to 120 days. The reason this was discovered was because the person who was processing the information happened to recognize a couple of the names on the voter rolls, or people who had worked that had worked with in government who were deceased. I said, wait a minute. I know that guy. He's dead. Just like I said about my the friend of my brother-in-law's who went to vote, and they said in North Carolina, oh, I'm sorry, your dead mother has voted, and so have you, as a matter of fact. Well, this stuff doesn't happen, does it? Well, this guy's going to prison in Virginia, where Terry McAuliffe is governor. And this goes back. This is something that the mainstream media has really hammered Donald Trump and used InfoWars to hammer him with, saying, oh, that's a lie. That's absolutely a lie. There wasn't any fake voting going on whatsoever. And yet they refused to turn over public information. Publicly, they're stonewalling with this. They said, we don't want to legitimize this. In other words, we don't want to find out if it's true. We don't want to find that out. Going back to November 14th, if you remember, we had this report from VoteFraud.org. It was Greg Phillips who tweeted out, He was the president of that organization. He said, we verified more than 3 million votes cast by non-citizens. We're joining True the Vote to initiate legal action. They want to find out if it's going to. Why wouldn't Democrats want to have honest elections? Rhetorical question there. Okay. Then a couple of weeks later, the mainstream media comes out because Donald Trump says, I won the popular vote if illegal voters excluded. And they went ballistic. They said, look, he's getting that from InfoWars. We were just reporting what vote fraud and True the Vote were saying. They said, hey, we looked at this and we saw 3 million votes cast by non-citizens and we're going to initiate legal action. We reported that. Then Donald Trump says, I won if the popular vote, if illegal voters are excluded. And then they come out and say, that's a lie. New York Times. We spent the first hour of the show talking about New York Times and how they've had to pull back their false idea of 17 intelligence agencies. They've unanimously said there was Russian involvement in our election and so forth. 3,500 stories about that as of May. And they've still been pushing this along. So AP and the New York Times had to pull that back. New York Times didn't even their retraction was a lie. Even their retraction was wrong. There weren't even 3 agencies who did it. It was a panel, as I pointed out before, a panel of people that were handpicked. They present them with a report and then essentially defy them to object to it. And then when they don't object to it, then James Clapper says, well, that's it. We have a unanimous agreement here. And it's just the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA. So he speaks for all 17 agencies, and he's putting this out. This is the narrative that was started by Hillary Clinton back in the October debate that was mocked by WikiLeaks as being patently absurd. But that doesn't stop them. So the New York Times, who does that? The New York Times was called out as fake news for a story that they put out February the 14th. And then when James Comey testified at the beginning of June, he said, no, that wasn't true at all. So over and over again, they got a great record. But they said that Donald Trump was lying because Donald Trump was basing his information about illegal people voting on InfoWars. Back in January, the New York Times called Trump's claim a lie. However, a new study shows that, if anything, we underestimated the number of illegals who voted. This is a story from Paul Joseph Watson, June the 20th this year on InfoWars.com. This new study is from a research group in New Jersey, and this is as of June the 20th. They've taken a fresh look at post-election polling data. They've concluded that the number of non-citizens voting illegally in the U.S. elections is likely far greater than any previous estimates, reported the Washington Times. Just Facts president James D. Agresti and his team of researchers looked at data from Harvard and YouGov study, which includes a sample size of tens of thousands of voters, including non-citizens who admitted that they are not eligible to vote by their own admission. They're saying they're not eligible to vote. This is a massive sample. It's put together by Harvard and YouGov. And then when we report that, we're the ones who are lying. No, I don't think so. They concluded that as many as 5.7 million illegals voted in 2008, a far higher figure than previously thought. In 2012, the figure was as high as 3.6 million. So now we want to know, what really happened? Are your voter rolls clean? Or have you deliberately tried to corrupt the voter rolls so that people can go in and vote illegally, people who are not citizens? That's what the Democrats are stonewalling. Absolutely amazing. But Trump came out, and let's play this clip again. He said the fake media is trying to silence us. And quite frankly, so are these Democrat governors, these Democrats, Secretary of States. But we will not let them. Here's what Donald Trump had to say.
The fake media is trying to silence us, but we will not let them, because the people know the truth. The fake media tried to stop us from going to the White House, but I'm president and they're not.
There you go. Now that was at a Celebrate Freedom rally that happened yesterday. And Donald Trump said, the fake media is trying to silence us, but we will not let that happen. I'm president, and they're not. And so that's why he's going in. He's going to take a look at these voter registration rolls. He's going to expose their lies. And again, they're coming so quickly. I know that it sounds repetitive when we talk about fake news, fake news, fake news. Everybody's calling each other fake news, but you need to look at the details. I'm not going to go into it again. Look at the details. Look at what happened with the New York Times, with CNN, with AP multiple times, making up meetings that never happened, then using that to imply that the Trump administration broke the law. We've got Alex Jones joining us on the phone right now. He's very excited, I'm sure, about what has been happening the last day or so with as the mainstream media is melting down. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, that's right. As I sit here and work and prepare for tomorrow's broadcast, just everything you're saying is so spot on. And as soon as I heard you talk about the New York Times and the fact that on Friday they had to just quietly halfway retract their giant lie, made me think, man, so many of their lies are imploding. I can't even keep track of them. That's why I love hearing you host the show and soon your own broadcast, because you're so on target. But exactly, even their retraction was a lie. Just like with ClimateGate, they said thousands of scientists unanimously agree that climate change is man-made and a carbon tax is needed. But it was only a UN panel that had sent letters out to thousands of scientists inviting them to attend. And if they did attend or didn't attend, it didn't matter. They still put their name on it and said they agreed, even though most of them didn't agree. So this is what's so incredible. The 17 agencies unanimously agree they didn't. It was some think tank panel which they set up. It's all giant fraud. Just like CNN's been caught with all the fake news threatening the president's life, then they say he's causing a dangerous climate. Forget Trump in the equation. Regardless, the deep state is a complete joke. It's imploding or having to retract stuff every few minutes now. And, David, I just wonder where they're going with all this. Tomorrow, 11 a.m., I'll be live on the eve of 4th of July, the birth of our country, breaking this down and all the other giant news. David, back to you.
Thank you, Alex. And, you know, there's another clip that we haven't played yet, and I want to play this clip for you, because this is a staged video that shows a refugee, it's a faked drowning. And remember that in the aftermath of the London Bridge attack, we had CNN orchestrate a protest against violence. When we come back, we're going to play this clip for you. We're not really sure what this is. Paul Joseph Watson put the article out today. He says, is this a work of fiction? Or is this something they're going to sell to us as documentary and news footage? Because we've seen that type of thing happen just recently from CNN. So we're going to take a look at that, and then we're going to talk about what's going on with North Korea. Very dangerous situation that is brewing right there. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
You can run on for a long time.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this July 2nd, 2017. I want to play for you real quickly a curious video that we have up on Infowars.com. Paul Joseph Watson found this, and it's like, what is this about? It looks like a Syrian refugee drowning, but it's a fake video. Now, is this something that was done as part of a video production, or is it something that was going to be used as part of a news or documentary footage? I can guarantee you they're not going to use it. Now, let's play a little bit of that for you, and I'll narrate if we've got any. I haven't seen this clip. Let's go ahead and play
that
clip.
The new video clip shows what appears to be the staged drowning of a Syrian refugee. Despite wearing a life jacket, the man acts like he's struggling in the water while a scene is being filmed by a white man with an American accent. Another refugee throws water towards the drowning man to make the situation look more precarious. After the scene ends, the American man with the camera says, "Good job, everyone out of the boat and we'll switch boats." Okay.
And there's quite a few people there. There's they got a boom mic and other things going on there. This is really strange. Given the misinformation that we've gotten from the New York Times, from AP and others, you really have to wonder when you see something like this.
The circumstances behind the clip are completely unknown. The key question is, what was the footage being filmed for? If it's for a work of fiction, then they have plausible deniability. If it's for news or documentary footage, then this is damning. The third possibility is that the whole thing was staged by right-wingers to make refugees look bad. We've seen other examples of staging where supposedly drowning refugees are shown to actually be standing up in the water. That's not to say that migrants aren't actually drowning. We know more than 5,000 drowned last year alone. But what's the origin of this footage and its intended purpose? Let me know what you think in the comments below, and please remember to subscribe to the channel. For more breaking news, visit Infowars.com.
And again, you can find that at Infowars. A staged video shows refugee fake drowning. I want to get to what's happening with North Korea right now. We have a clip from Donald Trump saying that he has essentially reached the end of strategic patience. Let's play that clip and I'll comment on it.
The era of strategic patience with the North Korean regime has failed. Many years, and it's failed. And frankly, that patience is over. We're working closely with South Korea and Japan, as well as partners around the world, on a range of diplomatic, security, and economic measures to protect our allies and our own citizens from this menace known as North Korea. The United States calls on other regional powers and all responsible nations to join us in implementing sanctions and demanding that the North Korean regime choose a better path and do it quickly, and a different future for its long-suffering people.
Again, and you can find that article at Infowars.com. Breaking: Trump preparing possible North Korean strike, contacting Japanese and Chinese leaders today, saying the era of strategic patience with the North Korean regime has failed. And it was just Friday that Trump met with the South Korean president and once again said that he wants the isolated nation of North Korea to be dealt with rapidly. And they said that National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster's only yesterday, that would have been Thursday, had confirmed that every option drawn up involved the U.S. attacking North Korea militarily. This is a very dangerous situation, and I'm not in favor of, even in a situation like this, hopefully we can get some kind of a diplomatic solution. That's not what people like H.R. McMaster's want to see happen. He wants a military approach to this, and that alone. Now, we have had calls in the past between Trump, China, and Japan. That happened on April the 24th, so that's going to happen again today. And you have to understand that even when we look at economic sanctions, that's a very tricky issue as well. North Korea is in such dire straits that they've had massive numbers of North Koreans illegally crossing into China, into Russia, and other places. It's gotten so bad in China that China has put a cash bounty on collecting illegal immigrants if they can get them deported. And that's why you've seen the massive move forward of military placement on the borders with North Korea by both China and Russia. They're both concerned about millions of people fleeing into their countries, even if it's just an economic collapse, and they don't have very far to go to an economic collapse. Now, add to this the fact that we've got China building these artificial islands in the South China Sea, which, yeah, it's the South China Sea, but like the Gulf of Mexico, it doesn't belong to China. And these artificial islands that they put in international waters are actually very close to the Philippines. And they have created artificial islands, done a lot of environmental damage there. They have fortified them. And now they have today a U.S. warship that was sailing near these disputed islands, had Chinese military jets buzzing them. This was a guided missile destroyer, the USS Stethem, that they were buzzing. So the tensions are very high there. It's a very complicated situation. The North Korean leader is absolutely insane, and so there's not really a good solution, I'm afraid, that's going to come out of this. Clearly, the people in South Korea do not want to see a war. The people in Japan are very concerned about the repeated firings of ballistic missiles towards them by this insane idiot that's running North Korea. So it's a very dangerous situation for all of us if this were to get out of hand. Let's take a quick look at what's going on in Nevada and in Vegas. Remember, we've had this weekend on July 1st, Nevada legalized marijuana. And they're saying that pot tourists should learn the rules before they get high, say legal experts. The issue is that although they have made it legal for anyone who's 21 years and older with a valid ID. Oh, wait a minute. Is that racist that you have to have a valid picture ID to prove your identity? See, they say that about voting, but, you know, when it comes to pot, it's okay. Or when it comes to flying at the airport. Anyway, you can buy with a valid ID up to 1 ounce of pot. Tourists are expected to make nearly 2 out of every 3 recreational pot purchases in Nevada. But listen to this. Even though 2/3 of the purchases they expect to be bought by tourists, you can only use the drug in a private home, specifically making it illegal to consume it in public, including the Vegas Strip, hotels, or casino floors. So if you're a tourist and you're there and you're not, I guess, unless you're staying in an Airbnb, if you go out and get this stuff, there's not anywhere that you could actually consume it. And if you take it back to your state that you're coming from where it is illegal, you'll get busted if you try to fly back with this. You can face a $600 fine. That is the key issue, folks. They've got 40 dispensaries that they've legalized in Nevada. And so the sad thing, I think it's great to see that we're moving forward with a situation where we're not going to beat people, we're not going to steal their money, we're not going to throw them in a cage and send people like me who don't care about marijuana, don't send me the bill for putting people in cages, for using something that's a natural product, something that has medicinal use. And now I think it's over half of the states have medical marijuana bills that allow them to do this. And we had 4 states in this last election that made it full out legal. That was California, Nevada, Maine, and Massachusetts, although only Nevada has implemented it so far. The other 3 states have not done so. But we have a lot of states, over half of them, have medical marijuana laws. And a majority of Americans want Trump administration, especially, are you listening, Attorney General Sessions? They want you to respect the state marijuana laws. I would like for you to respect the Constitution. We need to remember that when we had alcohol prohibition, even though that was a bad idea, even though it was a failed experiment, and even though we repealed it, they had enough respect for the rule of law and the Constitution to have a constitutional amendment. They want to say we've got the Commerce Clause, so we can do whatever we want, and we can have drug prohibition. That doesn't authorize it. The Commerce Clause was there when they created the 18th Amendment, the Volstead Act, when they made alcohol illegal. They had enough respect for the Constitution. Can't we get a government that has that much respect for the Constitution anymore? And of course, it isn't just a bad idea. It's a UN agenda. We talk about Agenda 21 or the Agenda for 2030, Agenda for Sustainability. We understand that the UN creates these agendas and then they wait on member states to implement them. And that's what we did with the war on drugs. We took a 1961 UN agenda. We implemented it verbatim in 1971. Richard Nixon did that. He used their 4 schedules. He even put the same drugs in all the 4 schedules and he called it his war on drugs. It was a UN agenda. It was a plot from the beginning. And one of the things that I think we need to be concerned about is how they are still going to use this to entrap people. They're still going to use it to get drugs or to get monopolies for connected individuals. And recently we had Jesse Ventura and Roger Stone talking about this in the Northeast. And they said, look, we want jobs. We can get a lot of jobs with medical marijuana. But you know what? The real job program is the war on drugs, law enforcement, prisons. That's been the real thing.